Welcome to the View Church Tableview podcast. We trust that the message today will inspire you to be a changed life, changing lives.
Cool. So I guess you guys can probably see, I don't have an iPad. You can't see me. I'm just one step above the rest, and I'm going to use my laptop. But the one day, it's so funny. We got given a laptop for a worship team, which is quite cool. And I've got my own personal laptop because my other one's actually not doing too well. So I'm busy transferring all the information on that. And on top of that, I've got my personal computer. So the one day the Oaks walked into my office and I had four just laptops just spread around me. And I felt like I was in the Matrix. But I enjoyed the Matrix. First one was the best one though. But I'm super excited. We're in the fourth week of our Divine Direction series, as you can see. And I've really been enjoying it because I really feel God's been highlighting and putting some pressure points on some things in my life, which I really feel he's telling me to maybe even work on or even walk in the direction which he's called me to be, divine direction. And my hope and my prayer is that us as a church, we don't walk on our own direction. We'll only walk in the divine direction of God. And 2 weeks ago, we heard Andre speak about the who before the do. And that really left an imprint on my life because we serve a God who's more concerned about you and your character, because we serve a God who calls us by name. We're not just a number. He knows us by name. He calls us by our name. And he's more concerned with your character than what you're doing physically. He knows, and we must learn to develop, that it's our character which pushes us through the hard seasons. It is our character which will push us through whatever destiny God has for us. It is our character which is going to push us through the direction of God's divine direction of our lives. And as I said, it's my hope and my prayer that tonight you guys are even going to get a revelation. I'm going to pray now that you guys are going to get a revelation of who God is, what he's done in my life, what he's going to do in your life, and what he still wants to do in your life. And that we are going to ultimately develop a divine direction so we can figure out the path which God has designed for each and every one of us. Is that good? You guys pumped? Can I hear amen? I'm pumped. God, thank you so much that you have designed us fiber by fiber and cell by cell. You're a God who knows every hair on our head. And you have a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. You want to see us succeed. You want to see us grow. And ultimately, you want to see us fulfill the plans which you have set before us. Because it is by the cross the good work was started and the good work was finished. And in Jesus' name, it is only by your grace that we get to do what we get to do. Amen. So if you guys didn't know, if you can see me behind my laptop, but my name is CJ. It stands for Charles Jr. My parents aren't very creative because my dad's name was Charles. My dad's dad's name was Charles. So he just gave me the Charles. I can tell you one thing in Jesus' name, my kid's name is not going to be Charles. Because guys, my name is CJ Barnes Whitaker, Charles Alexander Frederick II. Guys, I'm not even joking. It technically should be the third. So I don't know what my parents were smoking when they decided to give me that name. But school was always a confusion because it was Barnes Whitaker, then it was Whitaker, and then I nearly didn't write my matric because it was the wrong surname. Anyway, I'm rambling. But at home, I enjoy playing PlayStation 4. I don't know if any guys can relate to that. You can't. Just hang on the end the whole time. The one day I can actually testify, and this was a bad call. But I was playing PlayStation the one day. I was sitting on the couch. Now, I don't play much PlayStation. Martin says otherwise. By the way, I'm just preaching. So that, now that you know, Martin is my beautiful wife. I'm quite pumped. We got married just about 2 months ago, and I haven't killed her just yet. So I guess she hasn't killed me just yet. But that was close because the one day I was playing PlayStation, and I don't play PlayStation. I probably like an hour every 2 weeks. It's a sacrifice I have to make. I know, it sucks, bro. But I was playing, and I was sitting on the couch, all lazy-like, and I said, Martin, what are you making for supper? I didn't mean it that way, but I felt this really warm sensation on the side of my face. It was in the shape of a handprint, Anyway, that didn't happen. I quickly, what are we making for supper? That's what I saved that one. You know, big call. Anyway, but I enjoy playing PlayStation, and I wouldn't say, hold on, I actually haven't told you about myself. So I work here at the church. I'm pretty much a glorified button pusher. And I don't mean physical buttons. I actually mean I push people's buttons. You can ask Matt. You can ask. I push buttons, bro. But I also enjoy pushing the buttons of PlayStation remote. So the one day I went down to, as I said, I like playing games, but I'm not much of a gamer, if that makes sense. It's like someone can run, but they don't really like running. Same idea, bro. But I enjoy playing games, so they recently released the next installment to one of my favorite games. You can come to the service after and find out what game that was. It's not really important right now. But anyway, I was so pumped. So I bought this game. I walked out the store with the packet. I was so pumped. I was just walking. I was pumped. I was trying to get home, plug it into my PlayStation, get in my car, start driving home. And I was just thinking about how pumped I was. I was pumped. I'm like, oh, this is going to be sick. It's Kif next installment. I haven't played this game in like 2 years. And then it's the strangest thing. I got this sudden sense of anxiety just come over me. It was so weird. And I started thinking, oh my God, it's going to take for flipping ever to finish this game because it's such a big game. I don't know, it's weird. But I was like, oh my God, this is going to take forever. I'm going to have to learn all the controls. Last, it's different to the other game. I'm going to have to get into the storyline. And legit, when I got home, I put the game on the shelf and it sat there for about 3 weeks. I was so pumped. But just because I was too scared of learning the controls or learning the remotes or diving into something new, I left it there. I put what I wanted to do on the back burner because I was scared to step into something new. And I was reflecting on this the other day. And isn't that so true of us as humans? We're so scared that we're not going to be good at something. We're so scared that we're not going to maybe be the best at it, or we're not even going to finish, or it's going to take too long to get into, that we don't even start. Does that make sense? We don't even start. We're so scared of the amount of work it's going to take, and it almost seems impossible, or we're going to fail. That how do you finish something if you don't even give it a start? How many things have we got on the back burner because we're too scared to start something? Now, you've probably heard this statement before, but it says to step towards your destiny means you have to step away from your security. Is that cool? To step into your destiny means you have to step away from your security. In other words, to step into something new means you have to step away from something old. We don't like starting something new. We have to figure it out. We think we have to automatically have it all together. I know that's one of my struggles. Whenever I start something new, I feel like I just have to have it all together. And that's such a human kind of concept and mindset that we feel that people are going to judge us if we have to figure our way through stuff. But I want you guys just to think back in history. What kind of world would we be living in right now if people did not have the faith to start and finish something? Look at Nelson Mandela. If he didn't stand up for what he believed in and what he saw this country to be, we wouldn't be living in the world we're living in right now. We would be having a very, very different South Africa. But it's because of the bravery and courageousness and faith of one man to take one step forward at a time. We live in a free South Africa. We do live in a rainbow nation. And I believe View Church, Tableview, and all View Churches are a perfect representation of the country I believe God's called us to be. So we're going to look at the story of Nehemiah. Now, I learned the other day, it's actually not Nehemiah. Apparently, it's Nehemiah. Nehemiah. Can anyone say Nehemiah? I want everyone to say Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, he was a cupbearer. And that doesn't mean that he just held cups. That doesn't mean that he just took cups to the king. Yeah, he did do that. But we fail to sometimes understand that the cupbearer, his job was to drink what was ever in the cup, normally wine. I don't know, that's what kings apparently drank. His job was to bring the cup of whatever it was to the king and taste it before the king got to taste it. Not because he enjoyed tasting wine or he was some fine connoisseur, but purely because he was checking if it was poisoned before the king drank it. Now, can you imagine explaining your job title to someone? Hey, I'm a wine taster. I just taste wine. I hold cups. Oh, that's Kiff. Yeah, I drink them so the king doesn't die. So I'll die before the king dies. But that's crazy. I mean, wouldn't you think Nehemiah is a nobody? If, you know what I mean, he's so worthless that they don't mind if he dies. As long as the king's alive, it's fine. But if Nehemiah dies, it's fine. We'll just get someone else. But if he doesn't die, hey, Nehemiah, you get to live another day. Another wine, another day. Anyway, so Nehemiah was a cupbearer. And what Nehemiah noticed that Israel was in a little bit of a pickle, literally. About 100 or so years ago, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Babylonians. They destroyed the outer walls. They destroyed the inner temple. And it ended up making the Israelites having to leave the land which God had promised them. Fast forward a couple of years, Nehemiah saw the state in which his people was. He saw the people weren't happy. They weren't living in the promises God had for him. And you could almost say Nehemiah probably developed a burden for his people. Now, we use the word burden. Oh, I'm burdened about this. I'm burdened about that. But I want to use the word divine burden. Now, last night, weirdly enough, I have a knack for noticing the strange things. I don't know if anyone here, maybe when you go out, you just notice the strange things because no one really notices. You're like, hey, that was weird. Did you see that? No, I don't think anyone else saw that either. I think it was just you. So either you're crazy or you just have a really good eye. I think I'm a bit of both. I don't know. Ask Martin. But Martine wasn't feeling too well. She was being a bit flu-y. So inevitably, I had to go with her. I don't know. She wasn't too sick to drive by herself, but I had to go. But we went to Clicks. She got her medication. It was Corenza seat. And it's by the way. And we were... she swears by that stuff. And we were standing by the till. And I overheard these two ladies kind of having a bit of a conversation. So I'm like, oh, these people are good friends. And then I noticed it was getting a bit heated. It was a bit odd. And then the one lady stormed off, and the other lady shouted across the whole shop, shouted something quite mean. And as soon as I heard it, I don't know, I felt something in my spirit. It was weird. I don't want to get all spiritual and weird enough, but I just felt something in me which was like, wow, that really wasn't right. And it was strange. It was like it was actually physically like a weight. And that's the only way I can describe a burden. I mean, I don't know if any of you guys had something which has really burdened you. For most of the nights, I couldn't stop thinking about the events which actually happened. It was crazy. It just played over in my mind. I'm like, how can someone be so rude to someone? Because when I grew up in school, I'll be completely honest, I was a bit bullied. I was a bit of a strange kid in school. But that's fine. But I could totally relate. I'm like, I don't like seeing people treat people in the way God has not designed us to treat one another. So I had this burden. And I don't know if you guys can maybe even think back to a time when you had a burden and you felt really, really strongly about something that you actually wanted to make a difference. Just think back quickly. And in that, put yourself in Nehemiah's shoes. Nehemiah felt a burden for his people to go back into the land which God had promised them. So out of a divine burden, Nehemiah took his next couple steps and ultimately ended up rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. But what's crazy, if you go back to the story of Nehemiah, he actually, when he feels his divine burden, the first thing he does is go to God. How often when we feel strongly about something, we often go in our own strength and we often go in our own will. And we go so far ahead and we try and make our own path through stuff, but we end up having to pray as a last resort. There's a possibility you've messed it up so bad because you tried to do everything by yourself. But what Nehemiah did, as soon as he felt this divine burden, he first took it to God. And what I learned from that is that let prayer be your first point of action and not your last resort. Often we have to pray because we've messed it up so bad. But divine burden consulted with God turns into divine direction. Divine direction is birthed out of a divine burden. Now, I'm not saying you have to go build a wall. I mean, if you're a builder, that's what you do for a living. But we see Nehemiah, and he was an absolute nobody. But you can see God's got a strange habit of using nobodies to do absolutely amazing things throughout the Bible. Now, you might be sitting here tonight, and you might be saying, well, God, I feel like a nobody. I didn't finish my trick. Maybe my parents didn't love me enough when I was growing up. I was bullied in school. I was abused as a kid. And the world says you're a nobody. I felt like a nobody. But what was really enlightening and absolutely built me up was the scripture, Romans 9, verse 25 in the Message version. I'll call nobodies and make them somebodies. I'll call the unloved and make them beloved. In the place where they yelled out, you're nobody, they're calling you God's living children. You might feel like a nobody, but God calls you a somebody. You might not feel loved, but take heart, Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and for me. Talking about divine burdens, myself, and I'm talking about my wife tonight. But before we were even dating, that's another story by itself, we helped out with the teen worship team, and that was a lot of fun. But we felt this burden to see the next generation of musicians rise up and serve God and the church with their gifts. And so what we thought is that, wow, there's people who want to learn instruments. There's people who have maybe been playing instruments for a bit, but they can't figure out their next step. And by the way, great musicians don't just happen. They're not like programmed in a laboratory, like a where to, and just like they can, like literally like they just see, like, you know, the Terminator, when his eyes are red, he just sees like those numbers. Like, those great musicians aren't just made. It takes a lot of time and a lot of practice and a lot of heartache and a lot of sore fingers and a lot of all crazy stuff and sore voices. But Martine and I had a burden to see the next generation rise up and serve God with their gifts. So we didn't really know what to do with that. So we went around, we found out, hey, is there anyone who maybe wants to learn instruments? There were a couple of people who were keen. So all we did is we came a little bit earlier before Wednesday practices. Every Wednesday we have worship practice. And if you can play an instrument, we think you can play an instrument, you're more than welcome to come 7:30 every Wednesday. It's amazing. But anyway, so half an hour and a bit before every Wednesday practice, Martina and I would take people, we would try and coach them, we would try and develop their skills. If people wanted to learn, we would try our best to teach them how to learn. And out of that, we birthed something called Jam Session, which, by the way, Zalman and Aware are doing an absolutely phenomenal job at the moment. And it's so cool to see, out of a divine burden came a divine direction. And after our divine direction, people's lives are impacted. And people's lives are impacted to serve God. Right now, it's quite cool to see that Jam Session, the people who were learning are now teaching. Divine direction doesn't just affect you, it affects people around you. When you step in the direction which God has planned for you, it's not just going to affect you, then you can have this great time. No, you're going to bring people around you because momentum is contagious. When you choose to take your divine burden and place it in the right direction, in the right hands, with the right motives, divine direction cannot be stopped. But you first have to take it to God. Now, I don't know what kind of divine burden you feel you have at the moment. Maybe you have a burden for single mothers. Maybe you have a burden for, maybe you have a mercy for animals. You hate seeing animals treated badly. I know I'm on that boat. Maybe you hate seeing the homeless, hungry. I don't know what kind of burden you have, but I know if you step in the right direction, you can make a difference. Just like Nehemiah said, he felt a burden, and all he did was step in the right direction, and he built the wall of Jerusalem. Now, it wasn't easy, but in the right direction, it's not impossible. Well, you might be saying, cheapest creepy CJ, I'm not really going to be able to build a wall. Well, God's not calling you to build a wall, to be honest with you. And if you're taking notes, if you want to start something big and you want to do something big with your life, it's as simple as starting small. And that's my first point, start small. In Zechariah Zechariah 4 verse 10, do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the good work begin. God's not calling you to have, that's a scripture, good work to begin. As I was saying, God's not calling you to have the faith to finish. God's not calling you to see this massive wall built. God's not calling you to be perfect all in one. God's not calling you to have it all together. God's not calling you to have all the skills. But what he is calling you to do is to have the faith to take the first step. Nehemiah's first step was he went to God. Realized his burden, and he went to God. What kind of burdens do you have? I have a burden to see single moms find community. Why don't you take your first step and start a single moms view group? You have a burden to seeing the homeless fed? Well, why don't you take your first step on a Thursday night, get a bunch of people together, buy some bread and make sandwiches and hand them out for view group? Whatever burden you have, I can tell you right now, as impossible as it seems, there's a first step. And no matter how big it is, to build a wall, to make a difference in one person's life, just take your first step. You don't have to have it all together. All big organizations, it seems like they're unstoppable. But at the beginning, at the end of something big, there's always one small step to begin. God's not calling you to have it all together and do massive things all in one go. He's only calling you to take the first step. And we have it in vinyl. If you ever walked into one of our offices, we have it on vinyl and it says, it's not ungodly to have a small church, but it is ungodly to have a small vision. Even though you start small, do not think small. Have the faith to take your first small step, but have the vision to see the final product. You need to take your step in the right divine direction. You need to know where you're going, but you don't have to have it all together to get it right the first time. Nehemiah was a cupbearer. He was a nobody. I'm going to keep going this because this is really on my heart at the moment. He was a nobody. But God uses nobodies, turns them into somebodies, and they make the greatest impact. Not only did he rebuild the wall, but he rebuilt a home for God's people. Number two, we just spoke about it. Take your next step. Take your next step. Now, I don't know, we got so many cool new people here today, and I really love that, and I really can encourage you to go to the Next Step Lounge and grab your coffee. I can tell you right now, it's the best coffee you're ever going to have in your entire life. It's Kef. We even had Majosi. If you guys don't know who Majosi is, I'm not going to sing it, because you're not, probably not going to like Majosi anymore, but even he came and he said, wow, this is great coffee, and I said, I know, it's good coffee. Anyway, but if you're here for the first time, and you're wondering, hey, CJ, you're talking about this next step thing. It's not that easy, bro. You've got big legs. It's easy for you to take a step. But I can tell you right now, your next step in View Church is Growth Track. On the 20th, that's good, Mesh, well done. I didn't even ask you to do that. But your next step in View Church is Growth Track. And on the 20th of February, we have our next Growth Track Fast Track. In Growth Track, you get to learn more about yourself, and you're going to get to learn more about God, as well as having a great burger and chips. But I can't tell you how many burgers I've eaten, but your next step in View Church, if you're wondering what to take a small step. Start small. Go to Growth Track. You want to find community? Don't know how to take the next step? I can tell you right now, take your next step, join a view group. Get involved in community. Andrew always says, one can chase 1,000, but two can chase 10,000. It is impossible to break unity, because where there's unity, God commands a blessing, and you find unity in community. Even today, we celebrated baptisms. Your next step as a Christian could be getting baptized. Baptism is an outward expression of an inner decision. And as Andrew always says, and I get to finally use it as an example, this wedding ring is an outer expression of an inner decision I've made. But it's an outer expression of inner decision we made. We're showing people that I love God, and I'm going to take my next step in following him. And if you feel right now you want to get baptized, please come to us after the service. The baptism is ready. We would love to baptize you. That is your next step here in View Church. God is not calling you to be some amazing, flippant, miracle, healing, evangelist, Christian guy. That's not what he's calling you to be. The only thing God's calling you to be is obedient. Who knows what is on the other side of your next step of obedience? Who knows when you take that next step of faith, that small step, what God's going to do? Nehemiah, when he felt that burden, he didn't know. On his next step, he took a long journey back to Jerusalem. Over there, he took his next step. He ended up wandering around at night trying to figure his way through what to do. His next step, didn't know what to do. He's going to rally some people together. He took his next step, and he took his next step, and he took his next step. And Jerusalem had its walls built again. There's momentum in taking your next step. There's no momentum in just looking at your future and just trying to chase your future. Yes, we need to go forward and press on to the good things which God has for us, but we need to stay focused on our next step, because that's all God is calling us to do. So take your next step, do Growth Track. Take your next step, join a review group. Take your next step, get baptized. Take your next step, start serving. I flip and dare you to take your next step. I double dog dare you to take your next step in View Church. And I can tell you, God is going to do something amazing through you. You might not know, but maybe your next step is maybe having regular quiet times. Now, a quiet time isn't reading the whole book, flipping New Testament in one night and worshiping for 4 hours and lying on your face waiting for God to say something amazing. That's not a quiet time. We sometimes feel that's all we need to do. All God wants to do is connect personally with you. The worship team can come up. God wants to connect personally with you. He can connect to you through one word in the Bible, because one word can change it all. If you read one verse a day for 5 minutes and reflect on it, I can tell you in the next month you're going to be a changed life. God's word is a wellspring of life. Read his word for 5 minutes every day. I double dog dare you. And you're going to be a changed life, changing lives. And God's going to do something amazing through you. In Galatians 6 verse 9, it says, "Do not grow weary of doing what is good, because at just the right time we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up." Do not give up in having your quiet times. Do not give up in taking your next step. Do not give up on community. Do not give up on connecting God one-to-one. Just because you're reading his word does not mean you're engaging with his word. Be intentional. Ask God to meet you where you are. Because that's what Jesus did on the cross. He met us where we were. We were sinners. He met us at the sinner's cross. We were supposed to die. He died for us. God's in the business of meeting you where you are. Take that next step. I promise you, God is going to do amazing things through you. I've seen God do abundantly more through me than what I can ever do by myself. Often when we get started, we're gonna heavily, and this is the us problem. So don't hear what I'm not saying. When we get started, we're gonna heavily overestimate what God's gonna do. We're gonna overestimate. When I first came on staff here for production, I thought I was going to revolutionize production for the whole world. I had this big vision, and I was like, "Oh, I'm going to be on the tech magazine. I'm going to do all this cool stuff." That hasn't happened yet. We are going to heavily overestimate. But like Galatians 6 verse 9 says, "Do not grow weary of doing good." But we will heavily underestimate what God can do with a lifetime of obedience and a lifetime of faithfulness. If we look at our senior pastor, Graham Evans, he spoke this morning how he just stayed and he served the divine direction which God had for him. He just kept being faithful. Whenever there was a problem, he just took his next step. When Graham started, I can tell you right now, he did not have the faith to have 4 campuses on the 25th of February 2018. But what he did have is the faith to take the next step and see what God's going to do through him. The very reason we're in a building like this and we serve the church we are, when I say the church, I don't mean the building, I mean you and myself, is because the faithfulness of one man to take his next step. You're going to see an abundance of lives change because of the next step which you're going to take. And right now, you might be saying, CJ, I don't even know who this God guy is, but he sounds pretty cool. I want to take my next step. And taking your next step with Christ is as easy as saying, God, I'll let you into my life. God, I want to see you move through me. Not for me, but for your glory. And if you can close your eyes and bow your heads, what I'm about to say to you right now is if you're really feeling a tug on your heart, maybe even feeling butterflies in your stomach, and you really want to see God move miraculously through you, you even want to, you feel you're on a direction which is far from divine, you feel like you're on a direction of maybe which is going nowhere, but you're saying, God, I want to go on this divine direction. I want to see this journey which you've planned for me. For on the cross it was started, and through the blood of Jesus Christ it was finished. It is not by our works, but purely by the good works and blood, sweat, and tears by Jesus Christ that we get to accept this gift of salvation, that we get to walk in the divine direction which God has planned for us. And if right now you want to say, God, I want you to come into my life. I want you to birth a divine burden and a divine direction. You can raise your hand. Awesome. God, we thank you so much for your faithfulness. We thank you that a God who keeps pursuing even though we turn around. We thank you that you're a God who's designed our divine direction for us. In Jesus' name, I pray right now that you will stir a divine burden in our lives to see amazing things work through us. As I said before, not for our glory, but purely for your kingdom to move forward. And in Jesus' name, I pray that you'll give everyone godly wisdom. You'll give everyone godly insight to you, Ha, and you will draw close to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just want to close your eyes quickly, just for a moment. I thought it was an amazing message. I thought CJ did so well. But I don't want to just have a sense that we just have to create some space, because even what CJ said, how God meets you where you're at, you know, he died on the sinner's cross. And so when I was 17, I for the first time realized that I had a sin problem. Not that I didn't know I was a sinner, but I realized, I heard the gospel. I knew that Jesus was the solution. And I remember it was in this church, we're still in a small building. After church, I walked across the road. I lived in Athens Road, and I went to my room. I gave my life to Jesus. And if you want to do that tonight, if you want to accept salvation, the first thing you have to do is acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. The second thing you need to do is acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. When he paid the price of your sins, he paid for sin in full, and he conquered death when he came out the grave. The third thing you need to do is you need to receive salvation. You just receive it. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You receive it. And then the fourth thing is you pray a prayer of salvation. And if you're saying, Andre, I actually want to pray that prayer and receive forgiveness. I want Jesus to meet me where I'm at. With every eye closed, if that's you, I'm just counting three, and then just pop your hand up on three. Just say, that's me. I want to accept the free gift of salvation. I want to ask Jesus to forgive me of my sins, and I want to give my life to him, and I want to start to follow him. One, God loves you so much that he sent Jesus to die for you. Two, tonight's the night of salvation. Not tomorrow, not the next. You can do it tonight. Three, just pop your hand up. Say, Andre, that's me. Pray for me. I want to receive Jesus right now. I want to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. If you know God is speaking to you tonight, you need to respond to him. You need to come to him. Come on, anyone else here? Just say, that's me. Andre, pray for me. Anyone here? Awesome. Excellent. Anyone else? Anyone else saying, Andre, pray for me as well? Awesome, ma'am. Anyone else? I don't want to leave this moment. This is so serious for us. This is why we do it. Anyone else saying, awesome, another person? Anyone else? Excellent, another person over there. Excellent. Another person there. Anyone else? Just saying, that's me. That's amazing. Come on. We are so happy that you are receiving the free gift of salvation. You're saying, I accept the love of Jesus. I accept forgiveness. Awesome. They're going to give you. Anyone else? Just before. Anyone else? Say, Andre, yeah, pray for me. Pray with me. I want to receive salvation. Awesome. I'm going to pray together. Can we pray vocally as a church family? Can we pray and be in unity with these people who are making a great decision? Can we do that? Here we go. Jesus, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and that you are the Savior. Today I want to receive you. Jesus, I acknowledge that you're the Son of God, that you paid the price for sin and you conquered death. I want to receive the victory. By faith, I declare that I'm a child of God. I'm sorry for living for myself. I want to change my direction. And I want to live for you. I am a child of God. I'm saved. The old is gone and the new has come. Thank you, Jesus. Come, let's just thank Jesus in this place.
Thank you for joining us for today's View Church podcast. If you would like to invest in our ministry, find our giving options online at viewchurch.ca.za/giving.